competition.
So we're going to wrap up really quite quickly. First of all, we want to thank all the speakers and moderators for a really great day. It was fantastically interesting. As you know, the conference has been designed in two parts. So the first day is a kind of more traditional, perhaps academic conference with panel discussions and presentations. And tomorrow is going to be a series of workshops. So we move into a different mode. And we thought it would just be interesting in a few minutes just to kind of build a bridge between today and tomorrow and maybe mention a few of some of the ideas that have emerged today. And we both made notes during the day. So I think I'll just quickly run through mine and then Marion will run through hers. I think that one of the things that occurred to me today was the kind of incredibly diverse things that the space of education can potentially allow. And we started off with this quote from Otti Berger from the Bauhaus Journal, where she says that, you know, the Bauhaus was a place where she could get rid of herself and create a new self, which is a very high ambition for an educational establishment. And then I thought about conflict, a term that came up a lot in the last presentation. And of course, the Bauhaus was a whole series of conflicts. There's a book which is just called Bauhaus Conflicts. And then I thought about the last presentation where we had this idea that the education is about learning to deal with the collective. And then a very interesting set of propositions around that. So one was listening, of course. The other was the idea of the patient body, which to me was a fantastically interesting concept, probably mistranslated, but it meant something to me, the idea of the patient body, that you need to really kind of guard against this disease of impatience. And then I think going back to earlier, to the very first panel where we had these other examples, which to do with organizing, collectively, to do with the idea of the medieval guild that was there in the manifesto as a kind of a community of craftspeople working together. And later, under Hannes Meyer, the idea of the Bauhaus Brigade, which also was there in the first panel. And we had the shift from the cognitive to the sensory. So in the Moholy Nagy preliminary course, the idea that education is about sensitizing the student, the individual, working with touch and with sight, not necessarily with intellect as it's traditionally kind of understood. And then in the middle panel, we had quite a strong focus on responding to what one panelist called real social needs, quoting Lina Bobardi. And then later we had this question of how do you know what real social needs are? How do you access that? What kind of methodologies might you use? And how do you connect those two movements outside of the academy? And maybe how do you reflect on the academy itself as an institution? And then finally, there was the question of self-learning. So what to do if you're not being taught anything? You know, this complaint of Green Garthside that nothing was being taught. And so what kind of comes into that space is a sort of process of self-learning, which I absolutely identify with fine art education. But interestingly, Annie Elbers, in an interview that she gave in the United States, said that they didn't learn anything at the Bauhaus. So despite this very, very complicated and rigorous curriculum in the textile department, they were pretty much teaching themselves how to become textile designers. So those are the points which, for me, were particularly interesting today. So thank you all.
Yeah, I also like to thank the speakers and also the moderators, because it was also a challenge to weave our different ideas that we had together now in a public event. And I would like to immediately go to the workshop tomorrow and maybe also make connections to what we have listened today and what maybe would come then up tomorrow, because it's three parallel workshops that we have invited for international, but also all colleagues that we have dealt with in questions on education, art education. And we have artists, but also activists involved in this three parallel workshops. And one on bodily knowledge for sure already addresses some of the discussions that we had in the afternoon, in the last panel, but also in the first presentation by Regina Bittner when it was about the haptic, also the whole question of the acquisition of knowledge, what kind of forms of acquisition, and that's actually what I took from all the different speakers, that this is a field which is still open for experimentation. And here I would like to give you an anecdote, because I was reading an article, because reading is also part of our self-learning. You know, I'm also like you, autodidact. I was trained at an art school which didn't earn me anything, so I went to teach myself. And it was very interesting to read that a designer, very famous later for the Japanese post-war a fashion designer, studied at the Kawakita School, saw him in synesthesia practices, and they were found it extremely weird, because he was actually putting with his hands on baskets and did very strange things, and then they had to reimagine this kind of sound that was absolutely weird by a very big person, and to translate this into paintings or drawings or color. And then I thought about what actually our forms of training are today. I mean, what do we do? Are we really experimental in our way of teaching? Is it not purely cognitive, classroom-orientated teaching? You know, where is, you know, any kind of idea that we would, as Waxman, even try out different forms of practices? I mean, I think it is so extremely limited, our vocabulary of teaching, that I was quite shocked with when reading this. And this is also, I have to say, which made me re-interested into the Bauhaus, because then I thought, oh, maybe there are some things to be found, there's experimentation in teaching, and also the question that was brought up about the learning person. I mean, who actually is the learner? Did I ever ask that myself when I was teaching in the academy? So I was really recalibrating my own perception of what I do in an academy. And for sure, when I was teaching in an art academy in Vienna, I was one of the first generations of women since 1767. of professors. You know, we also have to acknowledge this also in relation to how we react and how we work. And that's also why there is a second panel, which is about the crisis of the art education, because I think there's one thought that we also shared and shared with some of our other colleagues, that we try to reform and deal with the existing infrastructures, also because of jobs. I think that what Suchita said, you know, partially we also need jobs, so we start to collaborate, are a little bit corrupt, and somehow dive into the structure. And this structure, and I think Suchita was also very wise to address this, really changed today, because there's a very interesting thing of the relation between the administrative part, which gets larger and larger. If you see, I mean, how many people are engaged to administrate the teaching, and then, I mean, what the teachers can do and how they are governed, I mean, as teachers, and which is part of the problem of the neoliberal university and this kind of ranking of universities, as they are now commodity productions or part of a market, then we are very far away of what we have discussed today when it is about experimentation of the idea what actually has to be learned and so on. And then we somehow are corrupt teachers, because we are still accepting this kind of environments, quantifications, the data that is collected over us and also over students. So I think there is a lot to discuss how we could actually maybe come back to an idea that radical pedagogy is also not something that we just talk about in this kind of conferences, but it comes back to practice. And the third is somehow about the last panel, which is beyond the curricula, one could say. It's very interesting because Annette Kraus is an artist who has also worked about the hidden curricula, what people in the schools learn, which is not taught, but how to survive in a school. So survival strategies of how to, finally meet what the school is expecting, and also Ferdi Tajib, who is also part of the Kunci collective in Indonesia, where they, and this is again interesting for me, for the private space, where in the private space is a new knowledge space installed that has a large impact on the public discussion of how we maybe think through theory, design, architecture, art. And it's they will also pose a question, how do we ourselves, being outside in this institution and inside institution, deal with the knowledge transfer? And I mean, and what actually is our role in this knowledge transfer? Because even that we are in the bed set, we bring it back either to capitalism, into the pop culture, or into the institutional new forms of neoliberal universities. And I think that's something which I took up because I had the feeling that we have to actually relearn, and then this was right to look back into the historical models and to kind of memorize again, and also to listen to other forms of knowledges which we had today and other values to rethink what education is for anyway. So thank you very much.